God's grace to you in peace this Ash Wednesday from our Father and from our Lord and Savior, exalted at the right hand of God, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, today we are beginning the season of Lent, and this is a season, as I said, that looks toward repentance, towards our humbling ourselves before the Lord as we remember how our Lord himself was humble on his road to the cross. And so we're looking both today at his road and ours. For as it says in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, Jesus said to all, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake, he will save it." So if you're on the road to the cross following Jesus, who was on his road to the cross, what sort of attitude ought we to put on ourselves as we go through our lives in this valley of the shadow of death before we come to Mount Zion in heaven? Well, the answer is given to us in Philippians chapter 2 by Paul. Listen to what he says. "Do nothing from selfishness or conceit, but in humility, humbleness, count others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which you have in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So, if we are following our Lord Jesus Christ, who is now exalted, how ought we to live? In the same way that he lived, humbling ourselves, counting others as better than ourselves, lowering ourselves. So, let's talk about being humble today, okay? What does it mean to be humble? Well, let's think about what it is to be proud. People who are proud, what do? Got their nose in the air, walk around, look down on you. They think of themselves more highly than they ought to think, right? And we see that all around. In fact, it kind of bothers me that we talk so much about self-esteem these days. Oh, I need more self-esteem. Well, according to the Bible, less self-esteem is really better. Because we have so much this high self-esteem that you have children growing up with umpteen self-esteem, denying, rejecting authorities, thinking that they are number one, the world revolves around me. Self-esteem, according to the Bible, is not a good thing. Self-respect, dignity, yes, but self-esteem, no. When you're proud, you think of yourself as more and better and bigger and more glorious than really actually you are. So what does humility mean? A lot of us think, oh, I'll think less of myself than I really am. That's also pride, isn't it? To think less of yourself than I really am? No, actually humility and humbleness in the Bible really is thinking of yourself realistically. You are nothing. And that's what we're here to remember today. You are dust, and to dust you shall return. Does that rub you the wrong way at all? Thinking, all right, you're nothing. You are little. Well, God has done wonderful things to remind us of this fact and remind me of this fact. I can think of just a silly little thing that happened the other couple, maybe a month or two ago on a boat. We had a charter out there. And not like I was feeling proud or anything before, but I must have had some because I was humbled afterwards. The boat, where we had a nice stiff breeze. The boat's leaning over. I'm hauling in on the main sheet, and I got my old pea coat on with a square rigger on there that I used to sail, and I'm hauling it, and my foot slips on one of the lines on the deck. I fall over backwards, and what does my derriere hit but my air horn? Okay, fortunately we only had one crew at the time. Lord finds ways to humble us, though, and remind us that we're not really as great as we think we are. I think, though, a more serious one is the nature. When you step out into nature, remember at the beginning of Herman Melville, Moby Dick, he says, with weekdays pent up in lath and plaster, tied to benches, nailed to counters, clinched to desks. A lot of us spend our days indoors, you know, behind a desk or behind a TV or on the couch. We can seem pretty big when we're in a room. But when you step out into nature, you start to realize just how small you are. Go to Niagara Falls. Oh, I'm still pretty glorious when I see how beautiful it is out over there. You get closer, it becomes inspiring. You get really close, right to the edge, it's awe-inspiring. When you get under it in the, Maiden of the Mists, where you wear that foul weather gear, now you are in almost awestruck at your insignificance. Now try going over it in a barrel. You'll be in dread of the power of those falls. The closer you get to nature, the smaller you feel. That's the way I felt on the ocean. Maybe you against the mountains. That's how David felt in Psalm 8 when he said, "When I look at thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast established, what is man that thou art mindful of him?" You feel that way? Has God humbled you to remember just how small and insignificant you are? Well, back in, 1994 or 96? Let's see, 1990, February 14th, Voyager 1 spacecraft was out at a distance from our Earth that we'd sent out. It was at 3.7 billion miles from the Earth. And Carl Sagan had suggested to NASA that they have the Voyagers turn around and look back and take a picture of the Earth at that moment. And all they saw was a spectrum of stars and galaxies, and just like someone had taken a toothbrush and just sprayed it with all manner of lights and heavenly bodies. And right there, only taking up 0.12 pixels of the photograph, was what they described as a pale blue dot. You know what that is? Earth. And then Carl Sagan, who is not a believer, but he wrote this of that picture. Look at it again, that dot. That's here. That's home. That's us. Can you find a blue dot in this room? I actually put one in here. Yep. Can you find how insignificant you are? Oh, I think somebody saw it over there. Look at that. Let me read this quote again. Look at that dot. That's here. That's home. That's us. On it, everyone you love, everyone you know, everyone you ever heard of, every human being who ever was, lived out their lives on that little dot, the aggregate of our joy and suffering, thousands of confident ideologies, economic doctrines, every hunter and forager, every hero and coward, every creator and destroyer of civilization, every king and peasant, every young couple in love, every mother and father, hopeful child, inventor and explorer, every teacher of morals, every corrupt politician, every superstar, every supreme leader, every saint and sinner in the history of our species lived there on a mote of dust suspended in a sunbeam. You know, that's actually not just an illustration, but it's the truth. I mean, think of how far Voyager is now. What if they looked back and took a picture of you? How big would you look? So I got that one here too. Might even look even that big. I wrote a little tiny one. Can you see a dot on there? Yeah, you probably can't even see it. There's a tiny little blue dot in the middle there. That's you. Really, if you're going to be humble, it's just a matter of being realistic. You are small. I don't want you to just feel small today. I want you to recognize you are small. You are tiny. You are dust. And to dust you shall return. But we want nature and all of God's testimony to bear witness to us. Not like Carl Sagan, who wrote that previous part. Then he says, our planet is a lonely speck in the great enveloping cosmic dark. And our obscurity in all this vastness, there is no hint that help will come from elsewhere to save us from ourselves. He is the height of pride right there. To behold all these things, that we are just a tiny little dot in a great, enormous, vast creation beyond our wildest scope of imaginations, and then to say there's no God or no Savior. Well, I'll declare to you there is a Savior. And here's the amazing, amazing news, that God is not even able to be contained by our universe. Where Voyager is now, 10 times as far as it was in 1990, still does not even come to the beginning of the scope of the galaxies. And yet Solomon says, when he dedicated the temple in Jerusalem, who are we to have this temple for you to live here, for the universe itself cannot contain you. Now, if you're that big, imagine how big you are next to God. And then we're going to exalt ourselves against him and say, ah, the potter has no right over the clay. That's ridiculous. The world does it. Pride is everywhere. It's the mother of all sins. That's where Lucifer fell. That's where David fell with Bathsheba. Peter in saying, I will never deny you. And then Jesus says, the cock will crow tonight and you'll deny me. So, humility. God wants us to humble ourselves, actually with each other. Take the form of a servant. Be willing to get down on your knees and serve one another. I'll be your pastor right now. I'll get down and put my head down and serve you. And I'm glad I stood up properly there. When I was preparing the sermon a little while ago, I tried to stand up in this robe and fell over. And I thought, pride goes before a fall, you know? So... But you really, in all truth, are small. All your self-glory, all your thinking of yourself as the world revolves around me is really not right. The world revolves around our God. But the most lovely thing is that this God, that the universe itself cannot contain, was willing, out of love, out of his unselfish, pure, abounding, everlasting love for you, willing to be reduced down, 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 until he became a little child and even had a little tiny cry. The voice that once spoke the universe into existence now is just the sound of a crying child. And he came and he lived among us. He had no riches, no self-glory, none of that stuff. One set of clothes, one pair of sandals, didn't know where he was going to spend the night. Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. All these things I want you to understand today are for you, for his great love for you. He was willing to become humbled, and he actually took the form of a slave and even went and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. And then that is to save you, for God so loved that tiny blue dot that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. But then, when you walk in humility, guess what? It is the Lord himself who has the power and the authority to bestow honor upon the humble. He has a day coming, my friends, when he's going to abase every proud thought in this world. He is going to bring every mountain down and level it, but every valley shall be filled. And you who walk with him in humility, he has promised he will exalt. As it says in Revelation 3, he who conquers and who keeps my works to the end, etc., I will grant him to sit with me on my throne as I myself conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. So as we go about our lives, not only for Lent, but for the rest of your life, let's think realistically of ourselves. You are dust, to dust you shall return. But God's promise to the dust that trusts in him shall be raised to sit with him as a star shining in the firmament of the heavens, as it says in Daniel chapter 12, to exalt you, to be glorious with him. And so we're going to walk with him as he walked. And I'll conclude with this little tune. You take the high road and I'll take the low road, and I'll be in heaven before ye, where me and me Savior will nay never part again. On the golden shining shores of his kingdom. Amen.